There is a concept. It's known as Eureka Sedoros. And it's a confusing concept. The concept is that later generations are not as strong as previous generations. And that means that as great as we are, no matter how great we are, we will never be the same as the generation before us. That generation will never be like the generation before them. And it's understood that the greatest guzzle that's alive in our times will never be like Reb Moshe Feinstein of the previous generation. Reb Moshe will never be like the Chazon Ish of that generation. The Chazon Ish will never be like the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim or Chaim Ozer wouldn't be like the Or Sameach. And it goes backward. That's the concept. But there seems to be exceptions to the rule. The rule's exceptions are, nowadays, people are more open to becoming religious than they possibly ever have been. People that had no shaitas, and to work on self-improvement, and the Musar movement that's involved, and no matter how you look at it, it seems clear that people are ready to work and do more. There's way more chesed, in any which way, in our communities today, than there ever was. The amount of chesed that's there, you even need to question that. Look at the chesed fund. Granted, that may be due to the fact that we have a lot more money than the previous generations did, but at least we're doing something that we know we're doing well with our money. That's something unbelievable. And there's more Torah being learned. The yeshivas are huge. Huge. And there's so many of them. Maybe not on the same level, but in certain ways you can see in some aspects Yerida Sedoros seems to be a stira to what we see with our very eyes. Where in certain aspects, in certain ways, we are greater. Or we do things that are more than what it is. But at the same time, as we know this as well, the exposure, the abilities that people have, the opportunities that people have for tumah and to do terrible things are way more accessible, way more at our fingertips than any other time. There's no shoulders, no base measures, there's no situation. Everybody has experienced a scandal of some sort. In every community, wherever you are, this happens everywhere. And it happens quite often, and even if it's hushed up, there's still something there. So how do we understand this sort of stira, what Yerida Sedoros means versus what we see with our eyes versus the opportunity for growth and failure at the exact same time? How do we put that together and how do we make that more accessible to us? I had a Rebbe, and some of you know that I'm still close with him, but Rav Elie Levin, who's the Rosh Yeshiva, the yeshiva called Shari Tzvuna in Eretz Yisrael. I used to learn Midrashim with him on Friday nights, and I was in a base medrash with him at the same time. I used to speak to him all the time in these types of inyanim. He is amazing. I cannot describe any, there's no words to describe what we've spoken about and how I feel about what he is. I read something from him, and this piece is unbelievable. I'm going to put it together to try to explain where we're holding right now, 2 days before Rosh Hashanah. People understand that darkness and light cannot coexist with one another. And the obvious line that's used by all the Hasidic Svarim around 250 years ago is that a little bit of light expels all the darkness. You take a candle, you experience this over Shabbos, this past Shabbos, take a candle inside a dark room, and that one candle, that one little light, is able to dispel a lot of darkness that's there, and that's 100% true. But there's more to it than just that. That's not all that Choshech is. That's not all the darkness is. In a more out of this box type of sense, light is everywhere, in every situation, but is surrounded by darkness. Wherever it goes, the light is surrounded by Choshech. That hides the light and doesn't let the light out. The light can't be seen, the light can't be felt, but it's there. There definitely is light. It's just surrounded. It's imprisoned within the darkness. That serves a twofold purpose. Number one, that it takes work to take the light out, which means it's not easy to find the light in any situation. It's surrounded by troubles, by sorrows, by terrible things, but if you work hard, you'll be able to pull out that light. That's number one. But number two, it keeps the light from being usurped and taken for the wrong reasons by the wrong people. Rishayim cannot use this light to their advantage because they won't be able to take it out of the darkness. The point of that is that there is godliness everywhere, in every situation. There is something awesome that you can find in every Nisayim, in every tragedy, in every circumstance that we go through our lives. There is or, and the light is there, and there's something great within it. It's just surrounded by something that we don't always understand. You don't have to go somewhere else. You don't have to go to another situation to try to find a way out of the darkness that you're in, to try to find a way out of the tzaras. Within that tzaras is the light. You just got to break through the koshas and pull out the light from it. Pitachta saki v'ta'azreni simcha. Open up my sackcloth. In the sackcloth itself, gird me with simcha. Allow me to wear a belt, some type of a clothing that's filled with simcha. Now every year that comes in, and every shana that we have, is a revelation of a brand new light, a chance for some great things to happen. That's within every single shana. Together with that light is a darkness that surrounds it, that doesn't allow the light to shine forth, that doesn't allow it to come through. But within that light is there. Let's try to understand in a more physical sense. We all know that the light from the sun is constantly traveling. The light is going everywhere. The light from the sun travels and never stops. The light that's being shown right now today, that light is going to keep going throughout the whole universe, and it doesn't stop, it keeps going. The light today will still be traveling 10,000 years from now, a billion years from now. That light will still be traveling, because light does not end. The light that was shining on the first day of creation 5,774 years ago is now 5,774 light years away from the sun. And that's an idea that's not, it's physically possible to understand. You can see it with your own eyes. That idea of what a light year represents, how light goes. In a more metaphorical sense, light also has no ability to limit itself. It keeps going. Kedusha does not stop. It can't stop. It just flows and flows and flows. But Choshech, Kates Dom LeChoshech. Choshech is finite. Choshech stops. Choshech has an end where at some point there is a limitation to how much it shows itself or how much it's able to be there. It's able to bring things in and hold things down, hold things back. But light will just be able to shine forth. Every year, there is a concept, there is an idea called Geula Be'ito. There's an idea that the Geula is there. There is a shining light that is there. That if this darkness is entirely stripped away, and there's no Choshech left, no borders, nothing that's holding it in, if we're able to take that light and we're able to knock off the darkness, then we'll have the Geula Be'ito. That's if it happens in its own way. If we get directly involved and we strip it off ourselves by taking as much of the Choshech off with our own bare hands, in other words, grabbing the hold of that Choshech and getting rid of it, if we're able to do that, we're able to do much more. That's the level called Achishana, where we're able to bring the Geula quicker than what we possibly could have imagined. That's within a year. Let's extrapolate from there and bring it to a bigger situation. Not only is there a light every year within Geula, there is a light that was started on the first day of creation, an or that goes out from that day until the future Geula. There is an or there. Now, the or that was created on the first day of creation, call that the or HaGanus, the light that is hidden by darkness, that or HaGanus, when it's ready to shine itself forth, everything's over. Every bit of information that you wanted to know will be known. Every bit of some type of a problem, Saras Yisurim, will just melt away. They'll all be gone. The light will penetrate everywhere and everything will be known. Everything will be good. Up until that point, there is a Choshech surrounding it. The maximum date, the maximum time for this Choshech to fall away, the Kate Sum LeChoshech, the end for this darkness, is the year 6000. by the year 6000, we're told by Chazal, at that point the light is automatically going to shine forth. The darkness melts away and the light automatically shines. But in another way, we have the ability to be able to knock off that darkness little by little through things that we do, and we're able to knock it down to the point where, in theory, the geula can happen even closer, even quicker. It no longer has to be 6,000 because all the darkness is melted away. Now the light is shining forth. We do that, obviously, clearly, through our mitzvos, through learning, through davening, through everything that we have the ability to do. That's what we're supposed to do. But there's an expiration date. The expiration date comes at a certain amount. This makes sense now, a little bit. Yiridus HaDoros is that as time goes on, we ourselves are not as powerful. Our abilities are less because Adam was created with the maximum amount of power, the maximum amount of abilities to do things in this world and to knock off the Choseth. He was created with the greatest amount of strength to do what he needed to do. And as time went on, that was stripped away to where it became then there was other people that were able to do it. And it went down little by little by little. And Moshe Rabbeinu, at the apex, if you want to say that it went up to Moshe and then down, you could say it that way. If you want to say it went down from Adam all the way down, you could say it that way. Question, which the Avos or Moshe Rabbeinu, whichever way you want to say, but from Moshe Rabbeinu on down, the further away we are from Har Sinai, the less abilities that we have. But on the other hand, there's not that much left to do. If we're dealing with a huge amount of light, with a finite amount of Choseth surrounding it, and that Choseth has been stripped away every year for the last 5,773 years and 353 days, if they were stripping it away, and each year you have more and more and more being stripped away, that means that more ore is showing. That means that although we don't have that much power, we don't have that much to do. Thus, we have abilities. Not innate abilities, but abilities within the world that our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents left for us that we can do so much with. But, of course, with a ton of ore, Zerumazet also Elohim, one is made with the other, there also is a tremendous amount of tumah that's available. Life can be misused, it can be misappropriated, it can be taken by people who are going to use it in the wrong way and abuse it. And unfortunately, because of that, as much ore as we're given, that's how much ore we can either use correctly or not. Which explains an understanding of a couple things. Number one, Elul is one of the most powerful months in which people feel that yearning, that want, that desire, that drive to get closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then you lead into Rosh Hashanah. It's because at the end of the year, the amount of darkness that's surrounding that light is stripped off piece by piece. At Elul, which is the very, very end, the most light that could possibly be showing is showing now. If that's that, then we understand why Elul becomes such a powerful month, a month in which people feel things because the ore is starting to really show. Understand, in a Chloe sense, why we feel it, Ikfasa de Mashiach, right before Mashiach comes, why there's so much light available to us, why there's so much within our hands for us to be these people that have so much chesed, so much Torah, the things that we shouldn't have, that our abilities didn't give us on our own. It's just, it's there, it's around that idea. That perspective helps us understand a lot about what our avodah is supposed to be. You notice, I mean, it's amazing. In this gulf that we're in, for almost 1900 years, we had nothing. Nothing on our own. Nothing. And every nation that we've been under, in some way, shape, or form, has either kicked us out, oppressed us, or killed us. It's been something of that way. Look through Jewish history in the Middle Ages. from the years 1200 to 1600. It was amazing. I'm going through over the summer, one of my pet projects was trying to figure out certain misoras of where Torah went at certain times. As I'm looking through, I kept seeing things died in Italy, then things died in Germany, then things died in France, then things died in Amsterdam. All of a sudden, the Rabbanim were no longer there, and I couldn't figure out why. Looked into a little bit further. Oh, that's because they were kicked out of France. Oh, that's because they were killed. All of them were killed in Germany. That's because everything happened in Spain, as we all know from the Inquisition. We all know that in Italy, there were tremendous, tremendous pogroms that went on year after year after year. People kept dying. We kept having to go from one place to the other. And that's not including the Mohammedan and everything that happened with the Arabs around the turn of the 8th, 9th centuries, let alone the Crusades that were around that time, let alone what happened during the times of the Gaonim, where in Babel people were persecuted. We have no clue what that's talking about. No one here has ever suffered from starvation. No one here has ever understood what it truly meant to be oppressed. No one here has any clue what anti-Semitism is. We have no idea. We've never been in situations that bring us anywhere close to that, because it's the end. The darkness is literally and figuratively melting away, and all we're left with is a little bit of ore. This is the greatest generation for anyone to live in. We've never had anything like this, which is another reason why all the technology is coming with us. Why certain Bet Midrashos are zocha to be able to have air conditioning. Why at least you can have fans. Why there's such ideas as recorders and cameras and everything. Everything that we take for absolute granted. Everything. It's there because the ore is finally being revealed. The chokmah is being brought into the world. It's the end. We just need a little bit more to go. There's just a tiny little bit of koshet left. The Baal Shem Tov used to expound to his tzaddikim, to all the chassidim that were there. He used to tell them all the time that the Torah that was revealed to us is specifically the amount that we need in order to bring about Mashiach. But it really is the Pashti Yitz, and Muna, and his idea of Tefillah, and what he needs to do with his life that allows Mashiach to really come. That's really all it is. We're dealing with the smallest amount over here. So now let's bring this into Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we've dealt with what happens when a new year comes in. We've dealt with why Elul, a person, has these feelings. Those we've already dealt with. But what's the deal on Rosh Hashanah? What are we doing? Every year I say this, and every year I'm telling you it is the most chashuv thing to hear. This is based on my Mashkiach, Rav Brazil and Beis Yisrael. It's based on Rav Dessler before that, Rav Eliyahu Dessler. And it must be known. These people just don't know this. And they go into Rosh Hashanah literally without any idea what they're doing. Yom Kippur is easy. Yom Kippur you cry. Yom Kippur you do vigil. Yom Kippur you do a tshuva. Everybody understands Yom Kippur. No one has any clue what you're davening for in Rosh Hashanah. The truth is, you're not davening for yourself. Rosh Hashanah is about, the concept of Rosh Hashanah is about God. It's Malchus. It's being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and putting Him on His throne. You are invited. You are given a seat at the coronation of the king. And although the coronations that we see nowadays are the inaugurations of the presidents, maybe a coronation of some prince in some way, but they're not real kings. You're invited to a coronation of the king. You show up. You sit there. And you sit through a 6-hour long ceremony if you have to. It's the king. He's sitting up there. You sit down and you watch and you listen and you see what's going on, and you have no choice. The king invited you to his coronation. When you're being Mamluk, the king, you get up there and you say, you are the Melech. You have all the power. You make all the decisions. Me, all I am is an Eved. And we're given a private meeting with the king on his coronation day. He gets together with every one of his subjects. You sit down with them and you get to have a conversation with them. And you better prepare for such a conversation. You don't go in to the king on his coronation day and go in and say, well, let me think about what I should do today. You come with a plan. What are you doing? Where are you going to be this year? What's your plan? What's your idea of how you fit into the king's world? Why should you be here? Is there a reason? Are you just here because Neville, you have a father who really loves you? You have a mother who really loves you. You have brothers and sisters, or let's go even further, kids or a wife who really need you. And you're here because if you're not here, they're going to be upset, and they don't deserve to be upset, so we'll keep you around. Is that why you're in the world? Or do you have a plan? Every year I write up, usually it takes 2 index cards, which I write up with my handwriting. And you go through and I say, this is my plan. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want to be an Eved in your world. My plan is the following. This is what I can do for you. This is how I fit into your world. This is what I can do. And I write it down. And if there are certain things that I'm not yet ready to do, then I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need a few years to get to that point. Give me a few more years and I'll be at that point, and then I can do even more. But I have to do something. Because Rosh Hashanah is not about you. It's about the king and how you fit within the system of the king. How am I there? What am I part of? And when do I do this? I do it in a L'kayin Etzor right before the second Yul Ratzon, right after a Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Shacharis and Musaf, they different things in Mariv, and then Shacharis, and then Musaf, and then finally Mincha. He's talking about my main concentration is on Musaf. I was Mamlech you. You are coronated. You've got the crown on your head, you're sitting on the throne, I'm in the throne room, and I'm standing in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm saying, here's what I can do for you, and here's my place. And even if you think that God knows the answer to the question, why should I be here? Why do I need to even say it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You wouldn't daven Shemona Esrei if it weren't for the fact that you need to sometimes say things out for yourself. The king wants you to know where you fit into the kingdom. The king wants you to think about it. So consider, what's your plan? Don't go in without anything. Make something up, put something in there, put it in your master, have it ready for when Rosh Hashanah comes. And then when Rosh Hashanah is here, first day, you're davening how you fit into the system. Second day, Sefer Dessler, second day is scary. You don't fit into the system. Second day is not about you at all. You're here because it's Nebuch. You have kids, you have brothers, you have students, you have Rabban, you have somebody who works at a 7-Eleven who needs you to buy a Slurpee once in a while. You have people there, and you're only there because of them, not because of you. The second day is a scarier day. I know we sit there and we look at the second day of Rosh Hashanah and we say, again? We got to do this again? Second day should be looked at as, mamish, life or death. Because then it's not you. It's about everybody else deserving to be there, and you just get to go along for the ride. And you're begging to go along for the ride. You're begging, please allow me to stay where I am. These are the days of Rosh Hashanah. So let's chazer. We spoke about the concept of Or and Choshech. How there's Or there and Choshech is surrounding it. At the end of the year, the Or of that year is surrounded by less Choshech, which allows for people to feel more inclined toward their connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu toward the end of that year. We spoke about that in a Klali sense, that Or also exists throughout 5,700 and almost 74 years. And how that Or is also surrounded by Choshech, and how that's also being taken down. And how at the end of the day, our Yerides HaDoros is we're living in an awesome generation where there's tons of Or showing. We only have a tiny little bit more to do. We can't really do much, but we do what we can. And our Rosh Hashanah is about saying what our plan is and what we're going to do to get rid of that Choshech, to bring about that Or, to allow a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus to be known by everyone in the world and not just by us, and to allow ourselves to be Megala, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Megala inside the world. Should we zoha to a tremendous Rosh Hashanah, tremendous gift that's given to us. We should only go up from Milo Milo, and next year, we shouldn't have to worry about all this. We should all be dealing with this in Yerushalayim, dealing with the Or being shown, with no Choshech whatsoever. That's what we want to deal with. Have a good day, everybody.